So the scripture today, which I've read part of this from Luke, it's chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and linen and who feasted scrumptiously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and they may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come in this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." So I caught this scripture, the do-nothing man. So a little bit about the rich man. In the commentary I was reading, they called him, I pronounced it Davies. I never could get my phone or computer to tell me how to pronounce it, but we're just going to call him the rich guy from now on. And so think about the nicest clothes that you could have, and that's what he was wearing. So purple and fine linen robes, robes of the high priest, they were really expensive. And when people talked about the daily wage, he made the daily wage multiple times over. And so he's just as fancy dressed as you can imagine. So we were in Rome, I passed a shop one day, and it had bishop's robes, it had a papal robe, and it was only 35 pounds, or 35 euros. And I thought, I should go in and get that, because I would have come to Rome as a local pastor, and I would have left as the Pope. But it was really fancy, really fancy. And so think of the nicest, you know, best dressed person. There's someone in your life that always dressed a little better than everybody else for whatever reason, had the nicest suit, the best dress, whatever. And so that's the way this guy dressed. He was dressed to the max. So he feasted on the finest foods. They were both exotic and costly. So whatever your most expensive favorite food is, he didn't eat that like once a week or once a month. That was the way he ate every single day, because he had the best of everything. Now the other thing was that my commentary talked about was he broke the Sabbath. And it wasn't because he didn't take Sunday off. The problem was he took every day off. So I took this from Exodus, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Well, he just did 7 days, I'm never going to work because I've got so much money and people do stuff for me. I am just the rich guy doing nothing. And so Lazarus is the flip side of this, means God is my help. He's a beggar covered in sores. When I read this, I always think of Job sitting outside the gate of the city. He was so weak, so sick, so hurt, that he didn't even have the ability to keep the street dogs away from him, that they just kept coming up to him. But things change. They both die. Lazarus ends up in glory, and the rich man in torment. Now, did the rich man really harm Lazarus? Did he hurt him? Did he mistreat him? He really just did nothing, which is why I called this what I did. And so he just didn't do anything. He just completely ignored him. And that turns out to be a sin. So we were in Rome. We were going to a cathedral called St. Mary's outside the wall. It's the only thing I can remember because it wasn't inside the Vatican City. It's this huge cathedral. And just as you walked into the ground, there was a man laying there on a mat, begging for stuff. Had big, long gray beard, big, long hair. And as soon as I saw him, it reminded me of Jesus walking into, I think it's the bath area, when he says, pick up your mat and be healed. But it reminded me of him. And there were some people that was giving him some change, and a lot of people just walked by and ignored him. But it made me think of this. Now, I did think it odd because the next day we're in Vatican City, and unless he had a twin brother, I saw him there begging for money the next day. So I'm not sure how he got from one place to the other. But some people helped him, but a lot of people just didn't trust him that he was doing it for the right reason. Now, we were in the Vatican City. There's a person there. There were people begging for money all the time at all the religious places. There was a person there that came up. So when I say a village pantry bag, do you guys know what I'm talking about? When you go to the village pantry and they give you those little plastic bags? I call all those plastic bags village pantry bags. And so I'm going to try to explain how, and I think it was a woman because they were so small, how they were dressed, but I don't know if I can do justice. So over their shoes, they must have had 10 village pantry bags wrapped one after another on both. And so their feet looked humongous because they had all these bags around them. And then, so I already told you I think it's a woman, then she took a garbage bag and wrapped it around herself, and each leg had garbage bags wrapped around them. And then on her head, she had village pantry bags wrapped around her head and her face, so the only part of you that you could see was like this much of her eyes and her nose. And she went around begging that way. And I'd already done this message before I left, and I kept thinking, is this the kind of person that I'm totally ignoring, where I'm not that much different than the rich man? Or is this just the way these guys make their money and I'm supposed to ignore them? And so I've always struggled with that. When you see people begging like that, if you're supposed to help them or you're not supposed to help them, I think I'd feel better if I knew what the story really was. But it made me think of this. But in this case, Lazarus had plenty of resources. He just totally ignored this guy. Now, it wasn't so much that he just totally ignored him. He ignored everybody. And so in a world, whenever this was written, which isn't any different than what we have now, there are people that are suffering in need. And so today, we talked about the Muncie Mission, and it's mostly men, but the families that come there, usually it's alcohol, not so much drug, but it's usually alcohol. And they've got themselves in a position because of their addictions that they're not able to take care of themselves or their families. And they have a program that the Muncie Mission makes them go through. And the first 30 days is like an alley, all-in free. You don't have to do anything. But at the end of 30 days, they have some expectations for you. And if you aren't willing to do those expectations, then they're going to ask you to leave. Because they want you to change. They want you to get better. And Covenant Partners, if you've never had a chance to go to a service there, it's a different congregation. And some of the people there have issues. The last time I went and helped the kids serve a lunch, which I think was about, I think we did that like Thanksgiving because we didn't have service here. There was a lady there who said that she thought she was having a heart attack. And so they called an ambulance. Now I have a friend who works for nursing homes as an advocate between the nursing homes and the patients. And as soon as I told her that story, she said, here's who you were talking about. She does this all the time. And she said, I don't know if she has mental issues or if she's really sick, or she doesn't know how to get attention without saying she's really sick. And so the ambulance is called constantly for her. And they come to the nursing home for her constantly. And I said, is there anything really wrong with her? And she goes, I don't think anybody really knows. And so she needs some kind of help, but they haven't figured out what it is. And maybe it's just mental mental issues that she has. And so the world, just like it was thousands of years ago, still has people that need help. Some of it's hunger and pain. And so one of the things the mission does, and both Covenant Partners, is besides feeding them on the evening service, they provide food, which New Burlington and Selma both provide food for them to give out on Food Day. This guy, the rich guy, he just didn't help anybody. He took all of his resources, all his money, all his, I talk about stuff, took all of his stuff, and it was all about him. Every single day, every single thing was all about him, because he didn't share any of it. Now, the second part of this, which was kind of the children's story, is because he's in such torment, he wants to have the chance to go back and warn his brothers, because he knows probably they're just like him, and they're not paying attention to what the prophets say. And so what he says, you know what, if you would just let me go back as a person they know who's died, I can tell them that they need to change. Now, when I read that, it makes me think of Christ coming back from life and telling people, and yet so many people don't change. They stay the same. And what he tells them is, you know what? They've had the prophets. They've had the elders of the church telling them this for their whole entire lives, and they are the way they are. You going back is not going to change them. And he said, well, if you just let me try, I know I can change them. And he says, yeah, you're not. He said, they have made a decision to be the way they are, and that's what they're going to do. Nobody coming back from the dead is going to make them change. And so in this part, he's unable to go back and warn his brothers. Well, it tells us a couple things. One is that just like the alarm clock going off and hitting the snooze button, hitting the snooze button, hitting the snooze button, we never know when our time is up. We just don't. And so we shouldn't hit the snooze button 42 times because there's no promise that we're going to hit the snooze button on the 43rd try. And we should take advantage of the opportunities the Lord gives us each and every day to do what the Lord wants us to do. And that's really what he's telling the rich man. They've had all these chances. They didn't take advantage of them. You knew all these things too, and you didn't take advantage of them. So that's why you ended up where you're at. You ended up in this place of torment. You ended up in hell, not because you did something, but because you didn't do anything. You just simply took care of yourself. You ate the best food. You lived in the fanciest house. You wore the nicest clothes every single day. And you didn't think about anybody but yourself. And so that's his warning. So the rich man's sin was, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to make himself better. He didn't do anything to make the world better. He just simply only cared about himself. So I talked about this a few weeks ago. And so we were talking about pictures this morning because I have to get them off our digital camera and put them on the computer because our group's going to share all of our pictures that we've taken. We went to at least 7 different cathedrals. The one thing I can tell you is when I start downloading those pictures, I have no idea which cathedral's which. Because after a while, you know what? They all look the same. They're great big humongous. They're humongous inside. They all have big stone things going on. And except for the date, I'm never going to remember which one's which. I'm just not. It's just not going to happen. And so when you take all these pictures, there was one couple on our trip that every single picture he took was of his wife with something in the background. And every once in a while, he would get someone to take a picture of the two of them with something in the background. Now, one of the things I noticed, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, is that in the old days, people took pictures of stuff, but they didn't put them in it all the time. And now, there are a lot of people there with selfie sticks so they could get them in the picture of whatever it was they were taking. And so when I'm watching people do that, it makes me think they think more about them than where they're at and what they're doing. And so for us, we have to be careful that it doesn't become all about us. That when we have the opportunity to help somebody, do we help them? So I bet you guys didn't know this, but I like to play golf. Okay, maybe based on the laughs, some of you knew that. And so one of the things that I do when I play golf is, I don't know why this is, but golfers throw trash on the ground. I don't really get that. And so anytime I'm walking along, if I see a piece of trash, I pick it up. Now, part of that's a selfish reason, because I think if I clean up the golf course, then the golf course owes me something later on when something bad happens. Okay? But the other thing is, it makes it look nicer. But you can do that every place you go. If you're going out for a walk and you see something, pick it up. I was walking someplace the other day, and I don't even know how somebody did this, but there's half a bottle of water sitting right between where you walk from the parking lot into the building. How do you do that? I mean, it couldn't have blown there. It was too heavy. So somebody just threw it on the ground. Or when you're going down the road and you see somebody chuck some trash out of their car. But that's a way that we can make everything better. We're going to have people come in our lives, and then you have to make a decision. They're going to need money, or they're going to need something, and you're going to have to find out if God wants you to help them, or if maybe helping them is tell them to figure it out on their own. Because sometimes that's the answer. Most of us have someone in our life that if you help them once, they will just continually come back to you asking for more and more. And sometimes that doesn't help them. So the Muncie Mission is an agency that Benita and I support because we like it that they make people do something. So this is just Ed's opinion now. I have a little trouble with Second Harvest because they just let anybody come and get food without knowing the circumstances. And so I volunteered there before, and it always happens. Has anyone ever volunteered to give food away at Second Harvest here? Okay? And so when you do that, somebody always shows up in like a brand new BMW or Mercedes or some really fancy car, right? And you're going, you're driving a $50,000 car. How do you need food? Now, the way I get around this is, because this is the only way it makes sense to me, that's a neighbor who came for a neighbor who's in need. Because if they were coming for their own, then it would just make me angry. Because I don't get it. Or something worse than that is when you open the trunk to put in food and you see they've already been to three other food pantries and it's food in there that's either spoiled or getting ready to spoil. And so you're just picking up stuff and then you don't use it. And so if you're helping somebody but they don't learn anything from it or they don't change, then all you're going to do is just keep doing the same stuff. So the Muncie Mission requires people to change or they have to leave. And so I like that. That's apparently the, you created some of this problem on your own, you need to fix it of me. That you had some part of this, you need to help make it be better. And so find those things in your life that you can help people and you think God's leading you to help them. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to help everybody, but it means God will lead you to who needs help. And so you have to be open in prayer. So I sent this, I'm not sure I sent this to Rick after I said that out loud, but every month I do a newsletter. And this has more to do with next week's scripture, but I'm going to get you guys started since October will come before we get there. What I'd like for you guys to think about is encouragement for the month of October. And the sermon next week's about encouragement. And what I'd like for you to do is that whoever you're dealing with, whether it's a group or a person, is find a way to encourage them to become better. Because right now, we live in a time where it's easy to become discouraged because of the stuff that goes on or the stuff that you read. And one of the things I said in the newsletter is if you're around people that are not encouraging, then find new groups of friends. If you're reading stuff that doesn't encourage you, find something else to read. And so we may think, oh, I can't change anything because it's only just me. Well, that's true to some extent, but you can change what you can change around you. And so part of this, double negative here, not doing nothing is that you're going to do something. You're going to find a way to make a difference in the world. And so there, if I counted right today, there's 55 or 54, somebody will tell me later how close I am, of us in here today. And if we all make a difference in one person's life in the next month, then it's not 54 lives that we've changed, it's 108. And if we encourage those people to encourage people, at the end of the month, we can make a tremendous difference in the world. And that's what I'd like for you to do. Don't be like the rich man. Don't be the do-nothing man. Find a way to change not only your life, but people's lives around you. Amen? Let us pray. Father, again, we're so thankful and grateful that we can come together this day. We can never thank you enough for the grace and the love that you give us each and every day. Be with all of us as we go out into your world, and let us be an encouragement to all mankind. Amen.